Okay. The budgeted for the Cedar Swamp project was about 4.6. It came back at 14 million. That's an awfully big.
It's a huge increase. And when you look at the pricing for the resin, the resin that the engineering firm, the pricing, I should say, for the resin was based on estimates for our contracts 101 and 102, which were interceptor liner. And this goes back to 2021, the estimates. So just last year alone, we saw the increase in petroleum just skyrocket. So the other difference that I want to mention is the resin that they estimated was an interceptor resin. So it's a gravity line. This is a force main line. It's a structural resin. It's much more durable. It's much more costly. And that's another thing that they did not take into consideration when they prepared the bid. The other item that was substantially higher was the valves that are going to be in place. We're going to install manholes over areas of the force main so that we can access the force main in the future. Should there be in the future an issue with the segment, we were really in a difficult situation with this break that happened in September because the closest bypass was, you know, over 1,200 feet away for us to get to a gravity interceptor. And so that raises questions. Part of the project includes these manholes and valving in the manhole so that we can access critical areas of the force main. So that's an added expense. And their numbers, again, the engineer's numbers were grossly underestimated.
Okay. Is the $14 million, or is that a fixed bid? Or will that go up, fluctuate? Or once we get this bid, is that it? Will that be it?
Once the bid is awarded in the notice to proceed, which we right now, we're fortunate, we have our certificate of approval from Rhode Island DEM to proceed with this project. So at any time, as soon as we know that we're capable to fund the project, then we would do the notice to proceed, award the contract, and notice to proceed for the contractor.
And you said that are the monies that you said would be supplemented, are they contingent on the passing of this bond, or are they the grants?
The earmark grants. Those money, what we have to do is, much like this last round of earmarks, the money has been reserved for us, but we still have to apply for it. Okay. So, and we'll be doing that later this year. If it progresses the same way as the last round of earmarks, later this year, we'll have an opportunity to apply. We've already gone through this once. We received $1.5 million for our SCADA project. And the application process initially was a little difficult to get through, but we made it through, and we have our funds obligated for SCADA. So now we're in that much better situation proceeding with our earmark applications for these particular projects. I'm confident that we'll get full funding for them.
So this would kind of nice segue into my another, like, you know, the next question would be, how do you plan on spending the $30 million? Are you going to go one project at a time? Are you going to bid it all out at once? Because you just said at the end of the year, you're looking at applying for the grants. Mm-hmm. So if there's more of a delay, will the prices go up again? Do you have a time frame, a schedule where you can get this?
We've been working with primarily an engineering firm called Wright Pierce, and they have projected out the cost estimates for these other projects and added a little bit in so that we can be safe moving forward. We also have, of the $30 million that you mentioned, we have about 2.5 remaining bond authority in there. So initially it was for $7 million, and we took out a loan for the airport interceptor and the Amtrak bypass, which is going on right now. If anybody takes Lincoln Avenue, you know, the bypass is there. You can't get through. So that will more than cover those expenses, and we'll have a little bit extra left over. The additional $23 million will cover those projects that we just went over, and there's like a $2.5 million cushion there. What we're doing right now, our primary goal is to get the Cedar Swamp Force Main project going. That's critical. Like I said, every month we're racking up expenses with the bypass. Once we get the funding, the SRF loan, that's covered underneath the contract. So we won't have to pay for the bypass. Those expenses will fall under the contract, which is great, as well as the rehabilitation of the Cedar Swamp Force Main. So we've When the bids were open, we did discuss the lowest bid, obviously, with the contractor. And for the last 2 months, he's been providing us with an extension saying that he'll continue to honor the pricing. So in that respect, we're good. The other projects that I mentioned, they're in design phase. So we haven't gone out to bid yet. And some of them obviously requiring SRF money, we have to bring that to DEM so we can get our certificates of approval before we can even apply for the loan for those. So right now, Cedar Swamp is the primary one. And there are three ejector stations that are absolutely critical that we're going to be looking at addressing first as well.
Thank you. So in your deposition now, and this will be my final statement, in your deposition now, you mentioned that you're doing projects where you believe that things will come in under budget. I just want to tell you my thinking is that we can break this $30 million up. So if we can do the Cedar Swamp Force Main first, and this council would, authorize the $14 million bond, and then the next phase, once that's done, whatever's left over, that can actually adjust the bonding where you can apply the money to more infrastructure, if you will, where we can maybe go one at a time instead of doing this one massive bond where we're saying, okay, we're going to do this. We still don't have plans for the other things.
Well, again, it's just bond authority. The loan that we're going to take out, we have wastewater treatment facility project that already has authority to do that one. Mm-hmm. And that involves our solids handling, which is pretty bad. I mean, it really does require an overhaul. That's about 3.1 in odor control. And then there's the Bayside project. The remainder of that project is about $4.2 million that we'll have to take out. So the initial loan that we're taking out will include the Cedar Swamp Force Main, three ejector stations. Those two will come out of the ordinance that we're discussing this evening. So we're not going to use all of that ordinance right up front, that bond authority. And then we'll be taking out of the ordinance for our sewer expansion projects, Bayside funding to complete that project. And then we also have a wastewater ordinance that we'll be taking $3.1 million from to complete that project. So overall, the first loan that we're looking at taking with Rhode Island Infrastructure Bank is about $22,507,672. And that's what we've been discussing with Rhode Island Infrastructure Bank, the finance director, and our CPA that did the rate study for us.
Thank you. I think I used up my time. I'm going to offer it to the other members of this committee. Nothing for you. You got one. Go ahead, Councilman Foley.
I have two. Just to clarify Chairman's question. This gets approved. You get the bond. The bids are, and you go to whatever, Cedar Swamp, the first one. Mm-hmm. Those prices are locked in.
Yes.
Okay, that's A. B, the $30 million gets approved. What is the cost to the ratepayers?
I have spoken with our accountant about this as well. So our five-year rate study will carry us through FY25. We have a substantial amount of debt service dropping off. Through the years, we've borrowed a lot of money, and those loans have closed, and the debt's dropped off, and we're in a very good position to borrow more money so we can complete these projects. We've looked at FY24, especially because of the increase, and I can understand your concerns. We're very concerned about that as well, sticker shock. We looked at that number, and we said, okay, time to go back to the drawing board, because our rate study had capital improvement projects in it, but it didn't include a $14 million Cedar Swamp Force Main price tag. So we wanted our accountant to look at that and looked at this year's budget. And this year looks great. FY25 is going to be tight. And we know that. We'll be able to make the payment, but we're going to be right there. It's going to be tight for us. We do have a little bit of infrastructure capital, a small little nest egg that we could tap into if we needed to. But I've been told, and these are his exact words by our accountant, come FY26, it's going to be a breeze. So for us to do these absolute critical infrastructure projects first, and looking at projecting to the future, that additional bond authority will allow us in the future to take out another loan for those other projects.
Okay, I appreciate your answer. And all I can think of the movie Philadelphia. You need to explain it to me like I'm a four-year-old. So I'm a ratepayer.
Yes.
We approve this tonight. It goes through the steps. My rate will go up by how much in fiscal year 24?
24, none.
None.
25, okay. None.
25.
25, FY 25, none. No increase.
And 26, that's what we, maybe.
In 26, we're maybe. Looking even better financially, Councilman. Okay. Even better in 26 than we are right now. If you look at the debt service, it just kept dropping,
right.
Dropping. Then it kind of plateaus a little bit in FY 24, 25.
Okay.
And in 26, it drops again.
Okay.
So,
I thank you for your forthright answer to me. Thank you
very
much.
But we're not going to hold our breath anything, because I remember Councilwoman Travis and I worked very hard on the previous $7 million. That's now 14. I'm sorry, Councilman. Council President McAllister.
Thank you. Good evening, Director.
Good evening.
Can you just give us an overall, just for the members of the public that are watching in and here this evening, just the little bit of the difference between the bond that you're asking for and other bonds that the city does? That this comes from your budget, the okay. enterprise budget, if you
Correct.
Could just explain that.
Correct. So this is not a general bond. This is a revenue bond. A revenue bond is paid through the revenue, the fees that we collect from our users. So the rates are set in place to cover our expenditures. So we have revenue coming in, and as part of that, the revenue expenditures, part of that is our debt service. So the revenues that we collect will pay our debt service. Now, sometimes we take out a loan to carry out an infrastructure project, but it's a sewer project. For example, Councilman Lattice's ward, Bayside project, that was a loan that was taken out for an expansion. That's associated with an assessment. When that project's done, his constituents will be receiving an assessment, and that will also help to pay back that loan. The other loans that we're taking out for infrastructure repair comes right from the rate payers, the sewer payers. And that's part of the revenue. When they get a sewer bill, a portion of that, a service charge, R&R, will go and help to pay these expenses.
Great. Yeah, I just think it's very important to point out that this, that you just hear bond, you think it's all the same thing, but it's not. This bond will not show up in the city's budget. Mm-hmm. When we do the budget in May, there's not going to be a number attached to this. Mm-hmm. This is through, like you said, it's a revenue bond. It's through the enterprise right. fund, through the sewer.
I'm so glad you asked that, President McAllister, because it's something that has been raised by other individuals, the public. I've seen some postings on social media about general bonds, you know, how it's going to raise taxes, the sewer bond, revenue bond, and it's not. This is for our ratepayers. And I've just mentioned the next 2 years, rates will not change. This is the rate study. We're going to do another rate study. And because our debt service is dropping off in FY 26, I would expect that we could stay somewhere, if not the same, in the ballpark, not raise rates exponentially like in previous years when we didn't raise rates at all. We're in a very good position now to fund these projects and to pay our expenditures for running the treatment plant as well.
Great. And I think that's a very important point that you mentioned a couple of times. I'd just like to put a pin on that. Your debt service is going down for it's, projects that you've completed, that you've been going on. So now may be the time to do some more because of all these critical projects that need to get done.
Exactly.
So, thank you. I just, like I said, sometimes we get in our, you know, we hear all this information, you hear bond, you think it's the same thing. So I just wanted to make that clarification for the record.
Thank you,
Director. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. Hello, Director.
Hello. Thank you.
So, Councilman Foley had asked the question that was of significant concern to me as well, and I think you've addressed that quite well. But in addition to the bond debt that you have dropped off over the past several years, in the next 2 to 3 years, you'll be dropping off some additional bond debt. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yes.
And I'm going to start off by saying my frustration lies with this engineer. My frustration isn't with the sewer department. This engineer was completely inept in what the taxpayers paid big money for. And when you go from a 4.6 estimate to a $14 million estimate, some 330% increase, that's completely unacceptable. This engineering firm, if that engineering firm worked for me, I'm hiring the engineering firm to do something that I don't know anything about, or I don't know enough about, or I don't have the experience and the knowledge and the expertise to do. That's why you hired the engineering firm. You went to the experts. You did your due diligence. You went to who you assumed was an expert. Now, that expert tells you, oh, no worries. We can take care of Cedar Swamp, and you're looking at 4.6 mil. Then, very much like another bond that we'll be talking about in the very near future, that people didn't take into consideration the increased cost of steel, labor, asphalt, cement, gravel, you name it, and it's there. That's why you hire an engineer. That's why you hired a professional to do this engineering for you. They screwed up big time. And leave it up to me, I wouldn't pay them. Because I'm not paying you to screw something up by 330%. I'm paying you to give me the information that I need as a director of, in this case, the sewer authority, to make these decisions and move forward with what you need to do. That's one of my major problems right now. And this isn't the first time that we've had problems with engineers either. I can remember a certain levy problem that we had with engineers who were not what I would call competent. So I'm very sympathetic to what you talked about with the increase of all these things, because we're going to deal with the same thing with the schools. You know, you're not going to hoodwink me with this $330 million whoop-de-doo thing and think that I'm going to believe we're going to do it, because it's going to be the same debacle as what we have here now. So you're paying $70,000 a month for this temporary setup over there. And this has been going on for how long?
We started the, right when the, we had the break, right following that break, the contractor that we have via bid for Sunbelt Rentals started to install the bypass that's being used, going to be used for the Cedar Swamp force main. So I think they completed it approximately mid to late October, the bypass was installed. So November have started the invoice.
Mm-hmm. $350,000. Had this error, this engineering error, financial error, had it not taken place, would you still be paying the $70,000 a month?
I don't believe so. If maybe for a month, because for our month. Bids, we opened the bids in November, and at that point in time, we could have gone to our board and awarded the contract and notice to proceed.
So in the past, I've used subcontractors and I hold their feet to the fire. And if they mess something up to this degree, they get backcharged. So my suggestion is to have a serious heart-to-heart talk with your legal counsel, because I would be looking at, in addition to not paying what they didn't do for us and did for us terribly wrong, another 280 grand on top of it that they're costing us. Now, we can say, and I understand, that this is revenue bonds, and we have certain amount of customers who pay for this, and those are the customers that have the sewers. And it's not the lion's share of the residents in the city of Warwick. We have about 65% of the city sewage, not counting Bayside.
Correct.
We have 935 properties in Bayside that we're in the last phase of doing. We're going to have them done and the valves turned by the end of this year. So of those 65% of the city that has sewers going past their properties, what percentage of those people have connected?
Probably about two-thirds.
Two-thirds. Mm-hmm. So we have about 22% of the infrastructure that's in the ground that's being paid for by the rest of the people who are connected, which is a part of your problem. It's a big part of your problem because we don't have mandatory connection and we don't have connect capable fees. And I tried to do that years ago and I couldn't get it passed. It got nixed 5-4.
And Councilman, if I can interrupt for 1 minute, please.
Sure.
Everybody else does, so don't worry about it. It's not just the financial end of it. It's the impact to the infrastructure.
Absolutely.
When the infrastructure is installed, it's installed for a certain capacity, a certain amount of flow. And when we don't see that amount of flow going through these pipes, we get stagnant areas. And that leads to hydrogen sulfide production and hydrogen sulfide corrosion. So we have to invest more money into chemical control for those, the corrosive
like the
chemicals.
Pipe you had to sleeve under 95, right? Mm-hmm. That was a 4-foot diameter pipe, and it corroded prematurely, significantly prematurely, because of the gases that were being emitted, because you didn't have the flow that was anticipated, because you didn't have mandatory connection. And if the city of Warwick did like Barrington did, you wouldn't be sitting here with all this craziness going on. You got to sleeve a pipe because you don't have enough flow going on, because you don't have the courage to do the project correctly. This is just beyond belief that we're sitting here with all these problems because these things have just been allowed to occur. With this engineering firm, and I'm going to spare the pain of having you name them, I'll spare that pain. Did they have an errors and omission clause in their policy, or do we have one with them?
Our attorney is looking at that right now. Okay. Those are the exact words that I used in my email to him to look at that.
My request?
Yes.
As one of the 9 people sitting on the city council, and I'm sure they all are very concerned about protecting all of their constituents, I certainly would ask you and your legal counsel to do everything that you possibly can to hold this account, this engineering firm, totally and completely responsible for their inept performance. It's unconscionable that so-called professional engineers that are getting paid. How much did we pay them, by the way?
Oh my goodness, put me on the spot.
I would say for this particular project,
let me see if I have that available. So the design and engineering services for Cedar Swamp Forest Main was around $270,000.
And that's the thing we're talking about, from 4.6 to 9.4. So we paid them $270,000 to totally botch this up, in addition to another $280,000 that we've had to pay to date, and we still probably have at least month or two more of $70,000 a month
until
right?
we have second
so
passage.
Add another $150,000 to that, you're at $430,000 onto two. We're looking at $700,000 that it's costing. And as you pointed out, this is very serious because it's not the entire tax base of the city of Warwick that's paying for this debacle. I again would ask that the sewer authority and your legal counsel do everything in your power and your legal rights to protect the interests of the customers of the Warwick Sewer Authority, to send a message out finally that, guess what? You start messing things up here in the city of Warwick, and we're gonna hold you accountable, and we're gonna come after you. And if we gotta go to arbitration, by the way, I think that's a good idea to do that on occasion. Sometimes you need to go to arbitration to prove a point. It's not always about winning, it's about proving a point sometimes. So for me, I'm looking and listening to what's going on in Woonsocket right now. We have DEM and we have the governor who's suing the city of Woonsocket because of issues with their sewerage, whether they're perceived or not. You know, there's differences of things going on, but we don't want that happening here. We don't want a Cedar Swamp project stopped and having other problems. We don't want any more Sandy Lane problems. We have infrastructure that was identified earlier that is total disarray. And it's just beyond belief to me that these expenses we're talking about here right now to protect the largest asset in the city of Warwick, the largest asset we have, those expenses were not calculated into the forecast and analysis that we heard tonight. That's beyond belief. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm done for now.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any further questions or comments from members of the council? Are there any questions, comments from members of the public? So very quickly, before I ask for a motion, Director, I'm just going to ask one quick thing. You mentioned that, there it is, bond authority. You mentioned that, do you have the money to cover the costs of the projects until you apply and get the grants, or will that be sitting until you get the grants?
Those projects right there, we have to come up with a 20% match, and the amounts that we're getting won't cover the entire project. So we'll be able to cover a small amount, but then the rest is going to be state revolving fund. But that's not going to be probably for those particular projects. The Oakland Beach Force Main Pump Station and the Appanog Pump Station probably won't happen until the beginning of, I'd say, maybe late this year, beginning of next year, for those projects.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I believe the chairman of the Sewer Authority had his hand up to speak.
Oh, I apologize. By all means, thank you. You gotta, when you go up, please introduce yourself and title.
Peter Ginnait, G-I-N-A-I-T-T, Chairman of the Warwick Sewer Authority. I just wanted to bring a couple things into perspective. When you talk about the Warwick Sewer Authority, most people think it's what you pass on Route 95. We have about 1.9 million linear feet of collection system. If we had to do open cut replacement of all of that, we would probably come close to $1 billion. Councilman Lattice, you hit it right out on the head. Probably the largest asset that we have within the city of Warwick is the sewer authority. I use some caution because of the bonding authority, because just in on at the pond, why am I pulling a blank? On Lakeshore Drive, we probably spent $1 million on 20 feet of failure. We have 1.9 million feet. So I'm trying to demonstrate the fact that there is an absolute need out there for us to be able to respond quickly. If we spend $1 million on a 20-foot cavitation or failure, it prevents us from doing probably a mile of our 340 miles of collection system, 49 pump stations. Narragansett Bay Commission has 2 pump stations. We have 49 because of the structure and the way that they've built it over the course of years. We are failing. I will tell you that we're failing because it's a system made to fail. We went in 1965 with contract one. We have 50-year-old pipe that's there. As the director said, it's undergoing hydrogen sulfide. Plymouth, Massachusetts had a 48-inch line that was 7 years old when it failed because of hydrogen sulfide. There are a lot of very important decisions that have to be made, both by the board, who are very, very responsible. I will say this isn't a board of previous years that were aunts and uncles and people that just filled seats. They are people who really do take a lot of lot of pride in what they're doing. We are very concerned about the engineering snafu, if you want to call it that, Councilman. I've learned a lot about engineering firms. We've advocated for many, many years to have an on-staff engineer. The cost of that is usually prohibitive because you can't find one for $90,000 a year. We used to have a board member who actually moved out of the city who was a PE. He used to actually take these engineers on and say, wait a minute, that doesn't really equate, that doesn't really calculate to me. We had those checks and balances when we had an engineer that actually served on the board. Having your own engineer is critical when you're dealing with just under 2 million linear feet of collection system. The engineering firms out there, and I will say, and I won't say their name, but they've given us nothing but good service over the years. Many of these engineering firms are being purchased by other engineering firms because they're involved with the same staff conflicts where they're running out of engineers. They're trying to build their business. They can't hire engineers. So what do? Buy other firms out. So they overload their workload And I think this is a byproduct of an overloaded workload where it was clearly, not, I wouldn't say nefarious wrongdoing, but it clearly fell short of what you would expect of an engineer that's giving you services that you're paying for. You alluded to the levy. That was a real bone of contention for many of us, where the engineer said, hey, it just didn't work out. $600,000, we'll just re-engineer it. This board does not take change orders lightly. When we say there's a dedicated amount of money to go to a project, we want to see it basically within 5%. Unless they hit something underground that is just something that's unavoidable, and we know that that's an expense that's just going to have to be borne. So the board takes this very seriously. We have had close to $300 million of mortgage. That's really how we do our jobs, is through mortgages. And that's what these bonds are. These are a mortgage that gets paid back. What do we have now, $58 million right now? And that's coming down exponentially. We did know that in 2025 we were going to plateau for a year. We knew we were going to have to tighten our purse strings. We've done it before, and we'll do it again. But these are the things that keep us operational. I do worry about failures. I do worry, you know, we had two failures on Lakeshore Drive. We had Cedar Swamp. They will occur again. It's just a matter of time. We're hammering miles and miles of underground pipe. We're doing more assessments of our infrastructure than we've ever done before. And all of this has really been in the last 10 years. Again, thank you to Councilman Lattiser for the Oversight Commission. Bill Russo was here. He did a study in 2007, which really showed how the sewer authority did work. 1998, I believe it was, the city used to pay our bonds. And in 1998, they did a complete reversal of that statutorily. And we just got through last year paying, I think, $8.5 million back to the city, something like that. It was 2017 we finished paying it. So we paid every dollar back to the city that we had taken a loan for. So as an enterprise fund, we take this very, very seriously. We operate this business very, very seriously. We need the tools to do that. And we appreciate the support of the council. But I know where you were going, Mr. Chairman, was sort of allocating some of this. And I have some caution about that. If we have to go through a long extended process and we have a failure, or we need to draw down on bond money somehow, are we going to be able to expedite that process? And I may have misinterpreted where you were going with a partial allocation, but we do need this to operate. And I think we've demonstrated, and we certainly will provide anything we can in the future to show how responsible we are. So we're very, very, take a lot of pride in what we do. And I think the proof is in the, I won't say the proof is in the pudding, but it's, you know, but open to any questions. I just wanted to you to understand the magnitude of what it is we're actually trying to maintain and keep operational.
Thank you. Any follow up? Thank you. May I have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second. I have a motion. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. The time is now 9:49. The Finance Committee is closed.
Don't move. Thank you. Councilman Foley and Councilman Gephardt, if you guys want to stay there, we'll go back to public properties. We still have one item on public properties, and then
yes,
we'll go to ordinance.
Public properties is reconvened at 9:49. You went, just stay with, keep us company.
Councilman Howe, you can go back.
The item in front of us is PCO 5-23, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance of the City of Warwick. 281 Associates LLC, petitioner assessors plat 246, lots 240, 243, 260, and 261, 281 Centerville Road. Second passage for action, Councilman Sinapi, who is not here either. So I'm asking for favorable action. Do we have any comments from the council committee? From the council?
Councilman Foley? Yes, I'd ask Councilman Sinapi reached out. He would. He asked for favorable action for second passage. We had public hearing on this as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any comments from the public? Any comments from the public? Any comments from the public? Seeing none, do we have a motion? Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
You don't count.
Thank you very much. Any close the committee, sir? Public property is closed at 9:51. Up next is the ordinance committee. This can take place at this time. This is Councilman McElroy, if you could chair this committee, and President Pro Tem Travis, if you could sit in on this one. There is one item.
It is now 9:52, and the ordinance committee is now in session. The first order of business, acceptance of the minutes from committee meeting held on March 6, 2023. No action. Okay. I have a motion for favorable action. I second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The first item on the agenda is PCO 18-22, an ordinance penalizing owners or lessees of vehicles used to carry materials to a place at which they are illegally dumped. Councilman Howe and Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you. I would defer to Councilman Lattiser, but I would request favorable action. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I had spoken to Chairman Howe, also to legal counsel, solicitor, and I had asked a few questions, proposed several amendments. I don't have anything in my package that speaks to those. So we still have PCO 18-22, right? This isn't a sub A. Okay. So I'll go to our council solicitor for clarification. Perhaps my amendments are not necessary, but I need interpretation. One of the things I was concerned with is it says it shall be unlawful for any person. I had suggested amending this to say, or company / corporation. Is that something that is necessary, or does any person cover the bill? So if I have one of my staff take my truck loaded with roofing materials and go dump them in Councilman Howe's backyard, does that cover it when it says for any person? Corporation isn't a person. Company isn't a person. I just want to be sure we're covered.
You would certainly have the ability to find the operator who disposed of it, but it also, if it was a company-owned vehicle, it would be covered as the owner being the person.
Suppose this employee says, I was just doing what I was told to do. My boss told me to take this stuff and go dump it in Councilman Howell's yard. Now what?
It would certainly present an employer-employee problem.
So would it be appropriate to make that amendment of any person or company / corporation? I'm not trying to make this complicated. I support it. I agree with it. I've co-sponsored it. But I want to make sure that the intent of this is going to be effective. Because so, I personally experienced some of this stuff we're talking about.
This law is... We're bound by what the state has advised, and the state speaks about the person, specifically in 45.612. It gives cities and towns may by ordinance defined as in violation of illegal dumping ordinances, those people whose vehicles either owned or leased or used to carry materials, et cetera, et cetera. So given that the state law specifies the person, I wouldn't advise changing it and just see if our application of it can cover the situation through the enforcement in municipal court.
Could you repeat that again, what you said about those,
trying to add
those people's
essentially
vehicle?
Trying to add more language than is prescribed in the state law is potentially not within our scope. So we can leaving the language as is consistent with the state statute. Trying to broaden it to insert more things doesn't, we may fail ultimately if we change that language. So I think my recommendation would be to stick to the people person definitions that we're using as it's consistent with the state law.
So in addition to that, I don't see in here where it specifically addresses fines and penalties. It does say that, you know, if you do this, you know, we're going to be mad and there's going to, you know, be some consequences. But does that need to be clarified, or is that stated elsewhere? And
that it is also covered in 45.6.2.2, imposition of penalties for illegal dumping or malicious damage to streetlights in the city of Warwick. So we have a state law that covers it, and the penalty provisions spell out that it is. Not to exceed $600 in penalties or imprisonment more than 6 months in jail.
And the other thing that I had discussed and noted on my sheet here is who is going to be responsible for enforcing this? Is this the police department? Is this going to be minimum housing? Is it going to be a combination of both? Who enforces it? Because it does not state who enforces it in this particular document.
This is within Chapter 8. So we're expanding upon the existing ordinance, which is in Chapter 8 under Buildings and Building Regulations. So, excuse me, we're in 22.1. Hey, 1 second.
The building department doesn't have arrest powers. For littering, doesn't that come under the police department?
Councilman Travis.
Okay. That happened to me once. One of my people from the Crime Watch called me. I happened to be home at that time. And they told me somebody was illegally dumping down at the pond. And I went down there, caught them, made sure I blocked them so they couldn't get out, called the police. The police came. They wrote them up, told them they had to go down, pick everything back up, take it out. I don't know what they did as far as a fine or a ticket or anything, because I left. But I waited till the police came.
Thank you.
The ordinance is silent on specifically who has that authority, but it would be likely under police powers.
Because I would assume so, but you know what they say about assuming. And also, if this were to be put under the building department only works from 8:30 to 4:30. You know, they're not out there on the weekends. They're not out there after 4:30. They're not out there at 2 o'clock in the morning. These things don't happen in the middle of a sunny day on a Sunday afternoon, you know, or if they do, there's nobody around to enforce it. So the other items that you spoke about, I think those are covered elsewhere, but I do think it's important to specify who is the enforcing body on this. And to me, the only enforcing body on this would be the police department. Now, I don't know if the police department has been consulted on this or not. I don't know. I have not reached out to the police department on it. I just was waiting to see what the amendments would be here.
So Section 22-1, the unlawful dumping penalty, is existing law. So there is a requisite entity already responsible for enforcement of this provision.
What is that entity?
We would defer to the administration to explain how that operates, but it is likely an execution of the police powers. And so it would be findings by the police department.
It would likely be, but there's no specificity to that. May I, through the chair, ask Bruce Kaiser, he is here, if he has any knowledge on that item 22-1, unlawful dumping? I just don't want to see us get into a situation, Chairman, where, you know, somebody dumps whatever it is they dump. It could be hazardous waste. It could be, you know, 5-gallon cans of paint. It could be battery acid. It could be all kinds of things. And then it's, who's going to enforce this?
Actually, I was distracted a little bit, the councilman, so... But I checked with Aaron, and he indicated that, so this is an issue before the building department as well as the police department. So we're going to have to talk to the police chief as well as out of the court and see under whose jurisdiction this needs to fall.
So, Mr. Chair, seeing as you kind of turned the mic over,
Excuse me.
Yes.
Council Solicitor, you think we should just hold it? Are you happy with it just going the way it is?
Can't hear you.
I'm asking for a ruling.
Okay.
So it's at the discretion of the committee can make any recommendation it wishes to and send to the council as to is there enough information to make a decision on the question posed. Whether or not it needs to spell out the specific enforcement, we've had this ordinance in place since 1971. So somebody's been enforcing it for that period of time, and
all right. Thank you. Excuse me. Would it be your recommendation to hold it to speak about this?
Yes.
Okay. Councilman Howell.
Thank you so much, Chairman. And I do understand the request would be to hold, and I would agree. I know earlier I made the statement I would go for favorable action, but actually. Just to kind of go on what the solicitor said and understanding we threw this at him due to talking to our constituents. I do have a constituent. What's got this started was she did call the police and the police actually said there was no ordinance on file. However, I would agree with what Councilman Lattiser said. I would like an ordinance personally. This is not the opinion I understand of the council nor the administration. Personally, I would like to have an ordinance with some teeth in it and some financial fines, as well as having the police so that in case there is illegal dumping and someone, a dumpster, private property someone's paying for, that would go with it. So for the record, I would support. Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Councilman Lattiser. I would support holding this. Thank you.
Thank you. As co-sponsor, I will as well. I'm trying to protect your backyard, Councilman.
I'll make a motion that we hold it to our next meeting. And I also like, can I add my name to it?
Sure.
Absolutely. We'd be honored. Thank you, Councilwoman.
Okay.
Chair.
I'm going to say second.
May I add, just be added to that also?
Absolutely. Thank you, Councilman. We'd be honored.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. We're going to hold it till April 3rd. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
It is now 10:05 and the ordinance committee has adjourned.
When did they hold up? Mr. President, not for nothing, but this meeting is bringing back memories.
Yes,
it's 10:05.
but.
All right. Good evening. We are now back into the full council meeting. Again, I want to thank all the residents, all the directors, the administration, the sewer authority, and my fellow council members. We did a lot of moving around, and I think we did a lot of a good work, and we have more work to continue this evening. So if you're joining us just now, we have done roll call. We had a salute to the flag. We've done general communications. We've done executive communications. We've done the acceptance of the minutes from the council meeting held on March 6th. We have done public comment, which was Rule 41. So we are now moving to the consent calendar. First up is PCR 32-23, a resolution relative to bids. Committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Go ahead, Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Bid 2023-348, 2023-404, 2023-176, 2023-388, 2023-356, 2023-371, 2023-405, 2023-358, 2023-357, 2023-401. That concludes the full consent bid calendar.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments from members of the council that were not asked earlier this evening in the Finance Committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Thank you. Consent calendar passes. Next up, we have already done PCO 6-23. So now we are moving to unfinished business. First up is PCO 5-23. This is for second passage. Committee report, land use.
Recommend favorable action.
For action, Councilwoman Travis, can you move that for Councilman Sinapi? Second by Councilman Lattiser. Any questions or comments on this for second passage? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action for second passage.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser? Yes. Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis? Yes. 7 yes, second passage.
Thank you, second passage. Next up is PCO 18-22. This is going to be held until April 3rd. Number three this evening is PCR 24-23, which is now 2023-088. Committee report is to hold until April 3rd. And now we're moving to new business. First up is PCO 8-23, committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley, Councilman Lattiser, and Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Gephardt. Any questions or comments from members of the council that were not asked earlier this evening in the Finance Committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis? Yes. 7 yes, first passage.
Thank you. We're now moving to unanimous consent. Ward 1, anything under unanimous consent?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5. Ward 6.
Pass.
Ward 7 passes. Ward 9. Councilwoman Travis.
If there be no further business of this honorable body, I move to a docket session.
All those in favor of moving the docket session, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? We are in the docket session. Ward 1, anything to docket this evening?
No, thank you.
Ward 3.
Pass.
Ward 4.
Pass.
Ward 5. If you just put your mic on.
The first one is a resolution.
Councilwoman, we need on the mic, please.
Thank you. The first one is a resolution, and the title is Resolution in Regards to Erecting a Stop Sign at Glencoe at the intersection of Wharf, and we do have a traffic study accompanying it.
Public safety.
The next one is an ordinance. It's an ordinance in regards to no parking this side, 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. and 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. school days only on the west side of Lauren Court. And we do have a traffic study.
Ordinance.
The next one is a resolution, and it's a request by the City Council to the Rhode Island State Police to investigate the accident by the fire department on May 14th, 2022, involving engine 13.
Intergovernmental.
The next is a resolution to form a budget forecasting and financial oversight committee. That is currently docketed.
My records are showing you have a PCR 3522, which was referred to intergovernmental, sponsored by yourself, docketed on March 21st of last year, a resolution in City Council relative to budget forecasting oversight.
PCR what, please?
3522.
3522. Okay. Fine. Then we already got it. So, just so now
the,
we can
the
talk
request
about
was
drafting
to convene. Okay, uh-huh. So we have something on file for that one for you already.
Right. Okay. Good enough. That's all I have for right now, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you. Ward 6.
Pass.
Ward 7, I have one. It's a resolution in support of legislation amending the tax classification legislation for the city of Warwick. Intergovernmental. Ward 9.
Two. The first is an ordinance to erect a stop sign at the intersection of Charlotte Drive and Sawyer Ave.
It's an ordinance.
Yeah. Stop signs are usually by resolution, so I don't know if there's something.
It is a resolution to erect a stop sign. Not sure what you heard.
What was the stop sign where?
At the intersection of Charlotte Drive and Sawyer Ave.
Public safety.
How about a parking, no parking
ordinance?
Interesting. The second is an ordinance to erect a no parking sign at 133 to 179 Castle Rocks Road.
Is it already a stretch of road that we have in ordinance that prohibits parking there, or is this
no.
too? Okay, so this is a new no
it's
parking
a
zone.
New no parking zone, correct.
It'll be an ordinance, and they can erect a sign subsequent to that upon codification of it. So
ordinance.
Ordinance
committee. All set. All right. Great work, everybody, and we are adjourned.